One.
Morning.
Sounds like the school days. I remember that we had to say, "Good morning, Miss Illingsworth," and to stand up. We used to say the Lord's Prayer back in those days.
Yeah, come on.
Who's old enough to remember that?
Yeah.
I think they stopped that in about the 80s, but that was a long time ago. Well, I've got a word to share this morning. And I'm going to start right back in the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, created. You know, our God is a creator. He is a creator. And He created the heavens and the earth. The first thing He made was light. Let that. And there, you know, we know the story. There were 6 days of creation. There was light, there was the sky, there was the land and sea and the plants, the sun, the moon and the stars, all the creatures, all the seas, the birds and the fish. And on the sixth day, He created all the animals and He created man. And after creation, in Genesis 1 verse 31, it says, God saw all He made, and it was very good.
Yes.
He was excited with His creation.
Yes.
Who's ever built something or made something and when it's finished, you'll stand back and look at it, it makes you feel good. You've done a good job. Like Julian builds a great kitchen, he stands back and looks at it and it's a great job. Or one of Cam's cakes, he makes the cake, it's finished and it's... You know, it's something to be proud of. Or Maria makes a lovely dress. Somewhat like, we've all created something.
Yeah.
Dave's done some building.
Yeah.
Years ago, I built a patio. Like, you, Noel with his garden. You look back at it, you think, what a great job. Now, God, we're created in the image and the likeness of God.
Yes, yes.
Those feelings that we have when we've made something and we're looking at it, God has those feelings. Because we're made in His likeness and His image.
Yeah.
He created the whole world. Everything that we see, all the plants, all the animals, He made it all.
Yes, He did.
And He was pleased. Yeah. It was a great creation.
Yeah.
And we know that He put Adam, and we know that Adam and Eve fell. Sin came into the earth. And the boys, Cain and Abel. And they brought their offerings unto the Lord. Cain brought his offering of all the fruit from the garden. And Abel brought, he slew one of his lambs and brought a sacrifice. But it said that God respected Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And so it was more about their heart as well. It wasn't just what they were doing, it was their heart. And Cain's countenance fell.
Yeah.
His face fell. And you know what God said to him?
Yeah.
He said, sin waits at the door. Sin waits at the door, and its desire is to rule over you. But you should rule over it.
Yeah,
now that hasn't changed.
No.
Sin waits at the door. And you know when it can get in? When your countenance has fallen.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're upset. When you've been wronged. Since something hasn't gone your way.
Yeah, yeah.
Is at the door. And when you unlock the door and let it in, it will devour you. And it's always there. It's waiting at the door. Don't open the door. Don't let countenance fall. Don't get upset, because that's how it gets in. Stand strong.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Further on in Genesis, like we've had creation, we've had Adam and Eve. It says that in Genesis 4, verse 26, it says, people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And this morning, I want to talk a bit about Noah. Now, Noah, back in with creation, they lived a long time.
Yeah.
Now, Adam lived to 930 years. And I was looking, because it gives all the genealogy and who had who and how long they lived for. So Adam lived 930. Noah was born 26 years after Adam died. So from creation, where God was so excited about his new creation, we know in the time of Noah that he said that he regretted that he had made man. And it said he was deeply sorrowful. So he was so excited about his new creation, and within one generation, the life of... I want to wipe it all out. I think that's the saddest story in the whole Bible. Because creation is the greatest miracle. Yes. You know, we had the parting of the Red Sea, the wall of Jericho, the blind eyes opened. There's, you know, heaps of miracles, yeah. But creation has to be the greatest of all. And for within one generation, the life of Adam, because it was only just after Adam died born, so they were long generations, but it's only from creation to the flood, there's only about 1,500 years. So this is all in the beginning, that God regretted that he had made man, and he was deeply sorrowful. So, but, you know, God gave a warning. God has given us, as a church, warnings. We have prophecies. I remember a prophecy probably a couple of years ago now, maybe even a bit more. And it said that as a church, we were laying around having picnics, we were eating and drinking, we were down by the waters having swims, and it was like a time of celebration and time of rejoicing, a time of comfort. And the watchman was up on the hill, and they could hear an army coming. And they thought, oh, it's the army of the Lord. But as they got closer, they could see, no, it was the enemy. And we were all under attack. And they were calling out, quick, pick up your swords, prepare yourselves, get ready to fight. You need to do that. Pick up your swords, prepare yourself, get ready to fight. Because that great and terrible day of the Lord is coming. And as in the days of Noah, shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man? We know that. And we know that in the days of Noah, it says that they were full of wickedness and violence. And also being giants in the land. And the giants, it's like when it says about the sons of God came down to the daughters of men and had children with them, and they were giants. Now, if you look like the side from the fallen ones, from the angel, like we know that in the beginning when Satan was downcast, he took a third of the angels with him, and those angels were coming down upon the earth, and there was giants being formed. Now, we've got giants today. We need to address our giants. There's giants that everyone has a giant. But just like David killed Goliath, he ran towards that giant. We have different giants, but there's still giants in the land today that we need to overcome. And when God was so upset, he deeply troubled, he said, my spirit will not tarry with man forever. And he said, from now on, the maximum days will be 120 years. Because they were, like, their average age was 900. Just imagine that, living to 900 years old. Hey? Well, they weren't having kids till they were 100. 900. I was born in 1110, you know. I still got a long way to go. Unbelievable. But the world changed very quickly. And even up until then, there hadn't been rain on the earth. They didn't know what rain was. The waters came up from the deep and watered everything. But God said to Noah, I'm going to bring destruction. I want you to prepare an ark. To prepare an ark, he gave him instruction to build it. And he said, I want you to cover it with tar inside and out. Now we, the Spirit of God is within us. We need to be in that ark. The ark is the place of protection because the storms will come. And did Noah avoid the storm? No. He was in the middle of. So don't think we're going to be protected from the storm. So it shall be in the days of Noah. In the end times, we're going to be right in amongst the storm. But will you be in the ark? Will you be in the safe place? Will you have that covering of pitch inside and out? It's not just the outside has to be, the inside. And you know, with the when Noah built the ark, he was given instructions. One of the instructions was to have the windows right up high around the outside. He couldn't look out and see what was going on. He could only look up. In the day of destruction, you don't want to be looking around you. You want to be looking up. If you look around, you'll get drawn towards it. So he followed the instructions of God and he built that ark. And it, like we know that Noah preached, but did anyone repent? No. But he was a faithful man. He was found righteous. And 8 people entered the ark. There was Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wife. And what does 8 speak of? A new beginning. So in the days of Noah, there was a new beginning. And God flooded the whole earth and everything perished. Everything was taken away. But there was a time of preparation, which we're in that time of preparation now. Noah had 100 years to prepare. We don't know how long we've got to prepare. But we're in that time of preparation. How's your ark? How's your safe place? You know, when Jesus was saying, as in the days of Noah, one of the things that the Pharisees came to him and said about the Son of Man, and it was Luke 17 and verse 20. And yeah, Luke 17:20. And now he was asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? And he answered and said, the kingdom of God will not come with observation. Yeah. See it. Don't go looking for it because you won't see it. It will not come through observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Yeah. So if we're looking for the coming of the kingdom of God, and you know, we know there's going to be signs, there's going to be lots of things happening. Don't run over here if someone says it's over here, or go over there, or it's in this man or that man. There's deception. There's going to be great deception. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And I was thinking about the eyes also. Like as people, we have 5 senses. We have our hearing. We have our taste, we have our smell, we have our sight, and we have touch, which is, all those senses are in the head, touch is everywhere. The eyes rely on light. Now, light was the first thing in creation. Let there be light. Now, if I sealed up all this room, sealed my light, sealed there, turned all the lights off, would there be anything wrong with your eyes? No. But could you see? No. Because you need light to see. Your eyes will only work if there's light. We all have the light. We all have the light. But if we don't use the light, we're walking in darkness. And if we're walking in darkness, what happens? You fall over. You think you know where you're going. You think you know what's right. You think you know, man's always right in his own eyes, but his own eyes are blind. He'll walk around and he'll fall over because he can't see. But there's only one light that doesn't go out. This is the eternal light. This is the light we need to rely on because there's darkness coming. It's coming upon the earth. So be filled with the light that you might see. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, Hebrews 11, 7, it says, by faith, when Noah was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark. By faith and in fear. So Noah, we know that Noah had a fear of God. Are we walking in fear? Do we have that fear of God? That fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That fear of God will bring us unto salvation. If we don't have a fear of God, then we're not in the kingdom. There needs to be a fear of God. There's a scripture in, I think it's in Jude, it says about woe to them who have not taken the way of, or who have taken the way of Cain, or, and also it goes on, let me just, Jude 11. Jude 1:11. Now, Jude is the shortest book in the Bible. So, yeah, verse 11. And also Jude is a warning book. Jude is a shot across the bow, straight before Revelation. Now, Jude 11, it says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Now, when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, the whole nation of Egypt, of Israel was there, millions of them out there, and Moses was leading them all. And there was a few of them that thought that Moses wasn't doing a very good job. They thought Moses has lost the plot, and there was one guy, and then he had a couple of followers, and before long there was a few hundred of them. And they formed this little group, and they weren't happy with what Moses was doing. And, you know, they were talking to each other, and, you know, it was a bit like a poison. It was getting in there. Moses got to hear about it. So they called a gathering, and this group of people brought these censers. Now, the censers were only for the Levites, for the priests. And they were all gathered out there together. And Moses said, God said to Moses, tell everyone to get away from them, because they're all standing at the gates of their tents. And Moses pleaded with God not to destroy them. So the ground opens up and swallows them. But not just them, their wives, their children, everything, all their belongings, their tents. It was the first mass grave. The ground swallowed up and they were gone. But then that wasn't it. Because even though Moses had pleaded, Lord, don't, all the other 250 that had their senses, whoom, down came fire and they were consumed. So it talks about the two things of rebellion. One is for greed, power, authority or money. And the other one is talking against the authorities, like talking against the man of God. Because they were coming against Moses. Moses was the chosen one. So you might not agree with what the chosen one is doing, but it says just shut your lip and get on with it. Otherwise, the ground will open up and swallow you. And, you know, after that, you know, they all ran. Everyone there started running because they thought the ground was going to swallow them. So there was the fear of God. The fear of God is a good thing. Have the fear of God like that today. Maybe if we saw fire coming down and the ground opening up, there might be a bit of fear. I'm sure there would be. But the fear of God is a healthy thing. It gives respect. It puts you in your place. When, I think it was Moses one day was arguing with God and he says, well, where were you? Where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? And you think, oh, yes, okay, I get it now. You realize who you are. You really are. You are dust. You are like a blossom here today and gone tomorrow. Like I got some of Noel's flowers for Mother's Day. They look great, they look fantastic, but a few weeks later, they're just wilted and... And we're like that. You know, we blossom, we look good, and then we're gone. Like, in 1,000 years, where's everyone here going to be? Their bodies. Our spirits will live on, but the flesh is gone. And you know, in the days of Noah, when that flood was coming, when the water, we know the water is the word, the water speaks of salvation. But that same water that brought the salvation for those in the ark was the water that brought destruction. It's the waters of judgment. The water can be life or it can be death. It depends on your position. If you're in the ark, the water is life. If you're in the world, the water is death. But it's the same water. It's the same water. And they spent a long time in that ark. It was 40 days while the rain was coming down. It was actually just over a year. It was a year and 10 days they spent in the ark, which is a long time to be in there with all those animals. Eh? It'd be worse than Ruby Princess. For a year, they couldn't get off. Oh, just imagine that place. All those animals. Oh, and there was only a few windows at the top. But God's, you know, God doesn't say it's all peaches and cream. It's, we like to think that God's way, you know, he will bless us and look after us and everything will be comfortable and amazing. But it's not true. You read some of the things that the men of God went through, or the people of God went through. It was horrendous. And it's not, you know, I don't feel this. Who cares what you feel? The senses that are in the head touches everywhere. Yes. That's not as important, what you feel. Right. What you hear, what you speak. Yes. Hallelujah. Keep your heart right. Keep that pitch covering inside and out. Because that's the anointing. Come on. Hallelujah. And you know that they were safe through the storm. Yes, they, like I said, they actually went through the storm. They weren't taken away from the storm, they were the storm. But you know, if Noah fell during the storm, where did he fall? Yeah. He fell in the ark. So, if you're in the ark, it doesn't matter when you're in the storm, when things are coming, because you can't fall out. Like, God sealed that door. Yeah. God shut the door. God brought all the animals in. Noah just, he heeded the word by faith and through fear, obedience, the ark. He did what he was told. He went in and he was protected. That's what we need to do. Hear the word by faith and fear of God. Yeah. Be obedient. Yeah. Do what you're told. Yeah. Go into the ark. God will shut the door and protect you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Keep your eyes upon him. Yes, Jesus. And you know, after the flood, God made a covenant with man. He made a covenant that he would never again flood the earth and destroy everyone. And he put a sign in the sky. And that sign was the rainbow. And he said, whenever I see that rainbow, I will remember the covenant that I have made with man. And now whenever we see a rainbow, someone else has taken it as their sign. But it's God's sign. He created the rainbow.
Amen.
Amen. And I think the people are looking at that sign, their light is all distorted. They haven't got clear vision. I think maybe the rainbow's all split up. Maybe their vision is all split up as well. It is. Their vision is not clear. Amen. Keep your eyes upon him. God doesn't want it. He doesn't. God is not to. God is just, but he's loving.
Yes, he is.
Love overcomes everything.
Yes.
The greatest is love. And why do you think God was so upset that he had to do that?
Yeah.
Because of his love for man.
Right.
He did do it, but he didn't want, like, it wasn't what he wanted.
Right.
He regretted. He was deeply sorrowful. But you're not going to get away with anything with God. He loves you, but if you don't, if true to Him, there is a judgment coming. And just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. If you were unrighteous in the days of Noah, did you survive? No. You were wiped out. Now, even though there was only 8 people left out of, I don't know how many, like, I know it was only one generation, but each that was over in about 1,500 years, so there was, I don't know how many people there were, but there been a lot of people wiped out. So God is a faithful God. And in the coming of the Son of Man, He's only going to take the righteous. If you're not righteous and you're not in the ark, you won't be saved. So it's imperative that we get our hearts right with God. We get in the ark. We have that place that we commune with God. Now, in Noah's time, that ark wasn't a pleasant place. Just imagine all those animals sealed in there for a year. But it was a safe place.
Yes.
It was a safe place. It mightn't have been comfortable.
Yeah.
But we're not to chase comfort. We're to chase Him.
Yes.
And sometimes it might get a bit hot. Or it might get a bit cold. Or a bit smelly. It's not about your feelings.
Yes.
You know, you say, well, I want it to be 25 degrees. I want my drinks here. I want my ice cream here. I want my bed made. No, no, no. Yes. Yeah, I need my Foxtel. I need. We live the most comfortable lives in history. We've got air conditioning. We've got lighting. We've got heating. We've got everything for human comfort. And everything is about making us comfortable and me, how do I feel? Is this what I want? And you can see the generations changing.
Yeah.
And there's a word for it, where it's all about me. Yeah, entitlement. But the word slips me at the moment. But it's anti-Christ.
Yeah.
It's not God's way. Take us off ourselves and focus on Him and focus on others. Because by looking at yourself, you're not looking out, you're looking in. And we need to be looking at His word, at what He has commanded us to do. We know that He will never send another flood upon the earth, but we do know that there's a judgment coming. We need to be prepared. We've had words. We can see even with what's going on in the world, we can see signs coming. Now, it might not be in our lifetime. We don't know. Because I remember my grandparents saying, oh, the end's coming, the end's coming. So, I mean, people have been saying it. But just because it doesn't happen now doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Noah was saying it for 120 years. Think, oh, it's not going to happen, but it came, and it came suddenly. So when it does come, it's going to be sudden, like a thief in the night. But we've had warning, so even though it's sudden, it's not to be unexpected. Yeah, it shouldn't be suddenly to the church, because we know, and we can see the signs. But there has to be that fear, there has to be that respect, because if there's no fear of God, easy to put yourself higher.
Yes.
And that's what the fall was all about.
Right.
And that hasn't changed. Sin hasn't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. It's the same today as what it was. The heart of man is wicked.
Yes.
And it desires, I want, I want, I want, I want. And if you feed it, it becomes a giant.
Yeah.
It becomes a monster. And the more you feed it, the bigger it gets. Greed is never satisfied. The desire of man's heart is never satisfied. His eyes are always bigger than his belly. if you put God on the throne and yourself bowing down before him, that doesn't get a chance to grow. It's like that, you nip it in the bud, the root is cut off, it's pulled out. But it's, if it's left to grow, it's harder to get rid of. When there's a little weed in the garden, like we've got a gardener here, if there's a little weed, you pull it out and it's gone. If you leave it and don't attend to it, it becomes a big problem.
Yeah.
If it gets to germinate and you get less there for year after year after year, it just overtakes and chokes out the others. Pull it out quick.
Yeah.
Pull it out while it's small.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Have a great week. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon us today. Lord, we ask that you would teach us, guide us, and Lord, that we would focus upon you, that we would be drawn to your light, that we would be drawn to your word. And Lord, when the temptations come, for they do every day, and we know that your word says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because every day there's temptations that come. And Lord, I ask that every day that we will have the strength to choose you. Follow the ways of righteousness. And Lord, that we would have a fear of you. A fear of your power, of your authority, and of your might. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Noah. Type of Christ. Amen. David said, applying the pitch inside and out. Yet it was the man of God that had to apply the pitch. And the pitch is an antiseptic. It's a sealer. Amen. And sometimes, just sometimes in life, you've got to keep paint inside of you so it keeps watertight. Otherwise, you can have a flood on the inside as well as the outside. Amen. But he's a good God. And in the midst of the ark and the storm, you know the ark never had a rudder. You know it didn't have a rudder. Not at all. And God used the storm to give him mountaintops. So in the midst of your storm, if you stay in the ark, no matter what's happening, God will take you to a mountaintop. Amen. And from the mountaintop, he expects you to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Glory to God. Don't get drunk like Noah. Don't get drunk like Noah. Otherwise, you'll have a hammer around you. So in the midst of your storm, allow God to take control as long as you keep applying the pitch. I reckon all the animals were constipated. Yeah, I do. Ah, why can't he do that? I mean, how much food can an ark hold, eh, for a whole year? He must have had them constipated. Eh? I mean, no one could put up with that for a year. I mean, honestly, unless you had, of course, you could bottle the methane and it could be held. But no, no. Yeah, put a match to it. You could just be first jet of the Old Testament. There's Noah's ark. But no, I reckon they were constipated. I tell you what, you try shoveling that for your year would go quick. That's a lot of work. Praise the Lord. But listen, the ark is Christ. You build the ark. Guess who you invite into the ark? You and your house. Amen? And your house. Don't wait for the house to build the ark. God's come you to build the ark. Build it. Paint it on the inside, paint it on the outside. Type of Christ, three levels, the three heavens, one window, keep looking up. He'll close the door in June. And that's the scary part of it all. Because if it was left up to Noah, he would probably never close the door. He would have never closed the door. Because when you hear that cry, when you hear that sort of cry from humanity, you'd want the door open. But God closes the door. Amen. And all things work out together for the... He's a good God. Dave, that was great. I really feel encouraged. Keep building your ark. Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept. It took my 120 years ark. So you got a lifetime. That's if he tarries. You got a lifetime to build your ark. If you haven't finished it, give it to your son. And give it to your children's children. Amen. Just give them the blessing. Don't just give them a blessing. Give them the responsibility. That's just as powerful as the blessing. Teach them how to work, how to honor. Teach them how to love. But above all, teach them how to love and walk in forgiveness. Amen. Great word. Bless you. Have a great week.